Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And in studio with us are great friends from the Southwood County Maine Society. We've got Madison here, and we've got a new Pet of the Week that we're going to talk about. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Big friend, shout out to our friends at the Southwood County Maine Society. And, of course, our good friends over at Gray Services. Appreciate them sponsoring the segment. Gray Services, caring service and high-quality audio repairs. Proudly Napa Gold certified. You can count on locally owned Gray Services at 621 Pepper Avenue in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Rapids. I actually may be over there very soon, guys. Just to warn you. I may be visiting over there very soon. Madison, thank you so much for being here in Studio 2. It's nice to have you here. And who is this awesome little guy that we are, little girl that we have in here today?
This is Annabelle. Annabelle is a little two-month-old puppy. She just recently joined us up from Texas. Her and her brother were found in a field, and they were just found in a field, and nobody came forth to claim them, so we were able to pull them for a shelter. They sat in foster. Her brother did not make the trip yet, as he's had an upper respiratory infection, so it'll be a little bit before he joins us. But he is coming eventually. Annabelle's a little tan, some sort of mix. We're not 100% sure what she is. We're most likely guessing that she will be some sort of, like, between 50 to 70-pound little puppy. But she was spayed, up to date on vaccines, and microchipped.
Wonderful. Anything about her with other dogs, other cats, kids, anything like that people should know, or we're just figuring that out?
Still figuring that out. She's still a puppy, so she definitely still has the time to be able to get exposed to those things and be able to live in a home with those. Nothing that's concerning behavior, though, at this time.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to touch on. I've worked in shelters loosely. I would never pretend to know the knowledge you do. So I was going to ask if that's something that at this age you could still be kind of trained. If you really fall in love with her, want to bring her in, but you have a baby, or you have another dog, is that something that you guys can work with them on and figure out if it works, if it's a good fit?
We definitely try to have at least management of behavior in the shelter environment. We're not there to fix behaviors. We can't fix a behavior, because once a dog starts those behaviors, there's times that they're not going to unlearn those behaviors. They're going to continue with it. So it's kind of just managing it. Being a puppy that's 2 months old, we don't really behavior assess any of our puppies that are under 6 months of old, that unless for whatever reason we notice something that is concerning behavior. We always counsel very heavily on the aspect of just slow introductions, kind of getting them adjusted to it. But it's one of those things that, being as young as they are, they're like babies. They have that time to grow and learn and develop their own personalities. So
it's a great comp. One of the things that I picked up working at a shelter that I didn't think much about as a kid, didn't grow up with animals, but I think one of the first things I learned, and you can correct me on this if you like, but I don't believe that any animal, especially any dog, is you know, too far gone or unable to be redeemable or something. And that doesn't mean necessarily that every dog is adoptable, but just that every dog has its place. Every dog can have redemption, can come break some of these things and stuff. Very similar to human beings. We don't throw human beings away. We shouldn't do that to animals either. A dog may have a hard upbringing and a rough life. That doesn't mean that it's a bad soul. It doesn't mean that it's a bad dog. It just was around bad people. Like a lot of things in life, you can kind of stem the back to people most times. I don't believe an animal is born bad.
No.
I don't believe that that's even capable, possible or anything. So, the idea of that, any of those kind of habits when it comes to any animal, I think is something good to keep in mind, especially when they're young.
Yeah. Like my dog, my personal dog, he came from a really bad neglect situation, and he's terrified of a lot of things. But I've had him, and I adopted him when he was 6, and I've had him for almost 4 years now, and he loves people now. He used to be terrified of everybody. He used to be terrified of new environments, and he still has his little quirks. He doesn't like when people clap their hands. He doesn't like when people roughhouse in the house, which is okay. That's his discretion, and we choose to work around it the best that we can. But shelter dogs, it's one of those things, especially when you are looking at older dogs, that sometimes they have their quirks, and it's kind of just a trial and error of learning, hey, this is what we've got going on, and hey, I noticed that this dog doesn't like that, and trying to work with those behaviors. Obviously, if it's a very set in stone of, hey, this dog does not do well with cats, we're probably not going to work with trying to work with that. But if it's something that's very simple and easy that they just haven't had a lot of exposure to it, it's a lot of just retraining, very positive reinforcement, and just going slow. So.
Is there anything over at the Humane Society that you guys are in need of more than other things right now that we can bring attention to?
Yes, we just put out a plea for cat litter. I think we are doing really well on cat litter, luckily, but puppy food, kitten wet food, with kitten season approaching and with us getting lots of puppies in lately, we're desperately in need for puppy food and kitten wet food. We did just put a plea out on Facebook the other day, too, of some really high need items as well, so if you could check those out, we've got a lot on there.
Not sure if you had a chance to notice this. I know how busy you are in the mornings and everything. We do a national day of calendar, and today is International Rescue Cat Day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a perfect day to have you in and everything.
There you go.
And it's a great chance to for us to bring attention to this, and maybe if you are picking up food for your furry friend, and you can grab an extra can or two or a bag or some litter and drop it off over there, it's greatly appreciated. And if people want to be able to do more and help in other ways or learn more about some of the great stuff that you have over there at the Humane Society, how can they find out about that, Madison?
Yeah, they can look on our website at swchs.com. Otherwise, our Facebook page. We lots of our social media is posted on our Facebook. Otherwise, updates are posted on our website. So that's where most of our information is.
I think you're going back alone. I don't think I can let this little guy leave my side. He's sleeping right next to me right now, and she is so adorable. She's got these paws she's got to grow into, and it's one of my favorite thing about puppies. Where they're usually you see it in pits and some other bigger dogs and everything. They're born, and I can relate to this as I was born with big hands. My hands have always been this size, pretty much, and so I feel a kinship with these animals. I feel it's a great little girl. What's her name again?
Annabelle.
And if people want to know again, want to find out more about her, can they do that online? Will it be posting things? I noticed that I've seen some videos that you've done with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep an eye out for that too. Should we tell them to?
Okay. Yeah. So she's available on our website. Her picture is up on our website. And then if you are interested, you can stop by the shelter for a paper application. Otherwise, you can fill out an application online. We are appointment based only for dog room at this time.
Good to know. And as always, great to see you. Thanks for having me in studio here. And thanks for bringing a new friend for us and everything. We appreciate you, Madison. Keep up the great work over there.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Big shout out as well, of course, to our friends over at Gray Services sponsoring this segment. Gray Services, caring service and high quality auto repairs, proudly Napa Gold certified. You can count on locally owned Gray Services at 621 Pepper Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, you can find out more about the Humane Society, as Madison was telling you, by going to the website swchs.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Big thank you to Madison and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society and, of course, Grace Services. That was a lot of fun. Madison has to join us at this time. It works out timing-wise, schedule-wise. Mm-hmm. It's also, I'm stuck here at the board, so I can't, like, steal this animal and, like, run off with it or anything like that. It's just safer
for
everybody.
Keep them in check.
Yeah, keep them in check. It's a good way to do it. It's smart. I wanted to get into a couple of entertainment notes here, and one of them pretty interesting. At least I thought it was. You may not remember hearing about this, but Matthew McConaughey is going to be providing the voice of Elvis for an upcoming animated comedy series called Asian Elvis. The show has Elvis becoming a secret government spy and fighting evil. It's going to star Priscilla Presley. Matthew McConaughey and Priscilla Presley actually helped develop it. And yesterday it was announced that she'll also play herself.
Wow. Okay.
That's kind of cool.
The cast also includes Caitlin Olsen, who is the sweet D on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. She's really, really good. She's really funny, but kids kind of lost on that show sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of cool to see her. Johnny Knoxville is going to be on this.
Oh, wow. Interesting cast.
Well, Johnny Knoxville is, I mean, I know he's famous for the Jackass stuff and everything. He's not a bad actor.
No, I've seen him in other things.
He's way above average as an actor, so I've always been excited when I see him in stuff. The great Niecy Nash, you might remember her from Reno 911. Mm-hmm. Tom Keeney, one of my favorite voice actors of all time, and one of my favorite sketch comedy actors. Tom Keeney got his start with on Mr. Show with Bob and Dave.
Oh man!
And Tom Keeney is also the voice of SpongeBob and Patrick.
Yes. Kenny. Tom Kenny. Sorry.
Tom Kenny. Am I saying Keeney?
You were saying Keeney.
I meant Kenny.
That's why I was a little confused. But no, you're right. He was brilliant on Mr. Show.
He was the guy that was always willing to do things nobody else was. Yes. And he has turned his career into one of the greater voice acting careers ever.
100%.
I was so happy to see when I first, my kids are watching SpongeBob, and I see his name pop up. I'm like, oh, that guy's got money for the rest of his life.
Yeah, no, he's set. Yeah,
that is all going to be okay. It could happen to a good guy,
too. Yes, he's very cool.
And, Don Cheadle. It's got a pretty good cast.
That's a decent cast.
Agent Elvis hits Netflix on March 17th.
Oh, man. I have to say that recently Beth and I have been watching the new Wonder Years show. Oh. And Don Cheadle is the grown-up version who narrates it. And he does such a good job with that. Oh, he's great.
Sneaky great voice.
Yes.
Sneaky great voice, Don Cheadle. KISS has announced their final dates for the End of the Road tour, their final tour.
Really?
Is this number four?
Are you sure?
I will journalistically admit that I am a KISS fan, and the first real concert I saw was KISS's tour when they were touring for the last time in 96-97.
Yep.
That was their farewell tour back then in 1996-97. So that's like the first time I seen this band, first time I seen a great band, and I saw them at the Kohl Center, and it was amazing. And I have no problem with this. I was just talking about it the other day. If you can still do it and you want to, go ahead, more power to you. I already saw KISS's final tour. Unless you're giving me a free ticket, there's no way I would pay for this.
I was going to say, it was your definitely final tour with KISS.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with KISS even.
No.
That's more like me and my personal preferences. You're not going to, the KISS that I saw was nowhere near in their prime, but they were still killing it. They were still knocking it out the park. It's been, 10, 20 years?
20 years now.
I imagine, just by the law of average and, Father Time and everything.
Yeah. We're close to 30 years, actually. I'm thinking about it.
I'm not sure I want to see that. No. I want to remember them that way. I want to, and that teach their own. They are going to do fine. Mm-hmm. The KISS Army is going to turn out for this. Oh, they don't need me. They'll be fine without it. But, it's interesting.
I think we should just have Paul Stanley do commercials because he was really good in that
so
one.
So good at it. He was really good at it. But shout out Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
The last leg kicks off in October in Texas and ends with back-to-back shows at Madison Square Garden in New York City on December 1st and 2nd. That's pretty cool. The band says, quote, KISS was born in New York City on 23rd Street half a century ago. It will be a privilege and an honor to finish touring at Madison Square Garden 10 blocks in 50 years from where we first started.
50 years they've been around.
Wow.
My goodness.
That's pretty
impressive.
Cool.
That is an impressive career.
Well,
and good for them.
Shock Rock wasn't supposed to have much of a shelf life. Alice Cooper kind of took the spotlight and ran with it. And there wasn't a lot of room left.
No.
KISS has made 50 years out of this.
They've had ups and downs, but hey, they're still around.
And more money than anybody knows. Insane. They've made money that's only comparable to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not just from album sales.
Oh, no. It's shows and all the other ancillary things that they've done.
And I'm going to... The KISS fans out there, especially Steve's going to get mad at me, but A Night at the Park or whatever that was, that movie they did... If you like good, bad movies, oh my God, that's one of the worst movies you'll ever see in your life. And,
awesome.
And you must watch it. You must. Especially if you're a KISS fan. You have to watch that movie.
Quick Google search says the combined net worth of KISS members equals about $650 million.
Not bad. Jeez. I take that.
That's pretty good for a band that wasn't supposed to get out of New York City.
Exactly.
And is this actually the actual end of KISS? Probably not. They said that they'd be willing to do one-off shows, festivals, or even a Las Vegas residency in the future.
They can't stop. They just can't stop.
If you're upset because KISS isn't coming to your town, don't worry.
just send them an invite.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like they come. Yeah.
I mean, they literally would do just about anything for money. They may show up.
We should invite them to Hoozles. Yeah,
that's a good one. I like that. Oh, that's pretty
good.
That
would be hilarious.
I like that, actually.
Though? Well, pretty good KISS cover band.
No, guys, this is actually KISS.
This is actually them.
Yeah. I do like the idea of that happening, though. People thinking that they're a KISS cover band. Because they're all older and everything.
Exactly.
I like it. Yeah. Here's an interesting one we're going to dive into now. And I think this is actually going to can be fun, but also have some interesting like relatability for some people out there. BuzzFeed put together a list of celebrities who have shared their experiences with ghosts. So for all you non-believers or believers out there, here's a list, an interesting a list that you may find interesting. Lily Collins. She said she was visited by 10 Bundy's victims while filming Extremely Wicked, Shocking, Evil, and Vile.
Whoa. That's creepy.
Keanu Reeves. When he was little, he and his nanny saw a jacket wave through a doorway without a body.
Oh.
When you hear him talk about this, it almost looks like he's brought back to that moment. Like, I've seen him talk about it in an interview once, and a completely shift in personality and character and everything. He's a pretty laid-back, pretty what-you-see-is-what-you-get guy. In moments like that, you see, oh, yeah, there's more to him than, you know, that.
To me, there's nothing, and it could be fictional, it could be, like, real experiences like he's talking about. There's nothing more terrifying than inanimate objects taking on some life of their own. For me, personally, that's what I find, like, super terrifying and scary. Ugh. Creeps me out.
For me, it is when you're seeing things that are doing, like the body parts are moving in directions they shouldn't.
Oh, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that creeps me out.
Yeah, the crawling
kind of creepy thing. Yeah. Like, that'll get me. Yeah. That stuff gets me. Not so much blood and gore or any of that kind of stuff. Like, it just, I'm watching it and I'm like,
you see so much of that.
Yeah, true.
And I don't know if it's my violent upbringing or what it is, but I will say that when I'm seeing that, I'm like, well, that's a lot of Kensington gore they had to have. Like, they had to have at least like 4 gallons or something on the side. I'm breaking it down in my head.
Exactly.
What the special effects guy had to do or something.
Well, because we know that is what it is. You know, we know blood and, you know, we know what's inside of us and all that. So, yeah, it can be gross, but it's not like scary. When things happen that aren't supposed to happen, that is where the scare factor comes in.
I think of my best example might be like The Ring, where I went into that because I thought, oh, it's a different storytelling of a horror story. This could be good.
Yep.
I didn't expect to be freaked out by this girl coming out of the well and her body bending and things it shouldn't do and all that. Like, that got me. I'll admit, that got me. Didn't scare me, but it maybe I did the whole jump scare.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Megan Fox, she and her kids' nanny heard ghosts bringing in their room service breakfast while at a hotel in Mexico, she says.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Wow.
One of the best voices, and I just adore her, Megan Mullaney. You know her, of course, from Will and Grace and all that. She's married to Nick Offerman. She said the ghost of Nicole Brown Simpson would make noises, but stopped after Nick Offerman watched The People versus O.J. Simpson. They were living on the property of a house that O.J. had rented for Nicole at a time.
Oh. A little creepy story going on there. Yeah.
But she says it stopped once Nick Offerman moved in. So interesting.
Interesting.
Although, if you're a ghost, you don't want to mess with Nick
Offerman. No, you don't.
That's Chicago's own right there. You watch any Parks and Rec's Office episode or anything, and you'll see the great Nick Offerman at work. And, you know,
Nick Offerman plays Bored better than any actor I've ever seen. He makes Bored interesting. I don't know how he does it, but yeah.
He was in episode 3 of The Last of Us, and by far and away the greatest acting performance I've seen him do. And it was one of the best cameo acting jobs I've ever seen him do.
Cool.
I've watched everything he's done. He's an old-time Chicago actor, so I've seen him in theater there and stuff. Mm-hmm. I did not know he had this level to him. Like, nice. It was so good. So darn good. Incredible episode. Helena Bonham Carter, next, a fantastic actor. One of those top 20 actors I would work with.
Yeah. Amazing.
She said she communicated with Princess Margaret through a medium before portraying her on The Crown.
Wow.
Interesting.
Really? From the horse's mouth, there.
Talk about method acting. Yeah. Talk about really taking it. The great Kate Hudson, she said she and her mom, Goldie Hawn, can feel spirits.
Okay.
I think I remember her talking about this during Almost Famous when she was touring to promote that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cher, she said she loves ghosts and that the ghost of Sonny Bono plays tricks on her.
Sonny, come on now.
It's kind of an ex-husband thing.
Yeah, it must be.
I can see that. Ariana Grande, she encountered a demon at Stull Cemetery in Kansas, she says.
A demon? Whoa. Mm. Now that's scary.
Hmm. Demi Lovato, when she was growing up, there was a ghost of a little girl living in her home that she'd play with and talk to.
Interesting.
And finally, Selena Gomez. The great Selena Gomez, I should say. She used a ghost hunting app and found one who was telling her the names of people in her life.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Interesting.
Wow.
Now, there is a there is about 15 more of these on here.
Yeah.
You can find the complete list at BuzzFeed.com. A shout out to BuzzFeed and doing the nice collection here of stuff, as they do always. You can find, again, the complete list at BuzzFeed.com. Now we got to get personal, though. And we don't have to. You don't have to answer this, obviously, or anything
right.
But where do you fall on this spectrum? I've been very honest with the audience, and here my brain is just not I have an imagination that is like a weapon in an action movie. It never runs out of ammunition. but unfortunately, that brain is also very factual centered and based.
Right.
And so it's not that I don't believe in this stuff. I just have not experienced it myself. Mm-hmm. So I can't go all in. It's hard for me to go all in. But okay. I am listening. I have an open mind and an mm-hmm. open heart when it comes to it.
Sure.
But I will say the closest example I have of this is one of my first best friends growing up, Craig. You think I'm factual and realistic and cynical, Craig? Like, he took the cake when it came to this, and this was in seventh grade, you know.
Yeah.
But Craig would tell this story of he moved around a lot too, and he was a huge, huge Ozzy Osbourne fan, and he had a Bark of the Moon poster on his wall, on his ceiling, I mean. And he came home from school one day, and there were like razor thin, like a claw mark through it. And he thought his older brother had done this, mm-hmm. and his older brother was actually out of town for the week. He thought maybe then his mom had done it, and his mom was at work. And so nobody was in the house for like a good 10-15 hours from when he was there last mm-hmm. to when he came home, and this had happened. And, you know, maybe a landlord did it. It was playing a prank on him. I don't know. Who knows or whatever. But Craig believed without a shadow of a doubt that it was ghosts that had done this, that his house was haunted.
That really didn't like Ozzy Osbourne, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. And again, Craig, not the kind of guy that would do
right,
these things.
Yeah.
Not at all that mm-hmm. kind of person at all. So that story has always stayed with me, coming from him, of how vivid he would tell the story.
Right.
Do either of you want to add to this, or you want to move on?
Well, I've got a theory. Mm. I've got a theory, and I've said this to a few people. I don't have any science to back it up, but I do have a theory about people experiencing these kinds of things. So, one thing that science has shown us recently is that the possibility of multiple dimensions could be a thing. Mm-hmm. Could be a thing. They've mm-hmm. got some, you know, preliminary evidence. Of course, we don't have a lot on that. My theory is that when people experience any kind of apparition or ghost, it is the multiple dimensions crossing each other.
Mm, mm.
So they haven't completely come together, because, you know, the theory is that, you know, there's every little thing you do creates a different dimension, right?
Right.
There's the one you're on.
Every decision you make.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So there's like
universe.
Almost infinite, you know, dimensions possibly.
Right.
My theory is that there's a point when they come close, but not close that everything is exactly the same. So that's why you see people that are gone, because in this other dimension, they're still alive.
Huh.
And for whatever reason, the streams get crossed, if you want to use a Ghostbusters thing. And so, you know, which, you know, it would explain a lot of things.
Absolutely.
That of these unexplainable things that oh, wow, you know, we touched another dimension. It's not, you know, not necessarily supernatural. It's just a kind of naturalness that we haven't figured out yet kind of thing.
I think that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story, man.
I have no idea if it's a thing or not, but that's my theory. I'll stick with it.
I mean,
it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
If you think about it like that, then would you see yourself in other,
exactly.
Like, would you run into yourself potentially?
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
And you're just the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah. Look at pointing at each other. Yeah.
I will say, when I was a kid, I read about Albert Einstein talking about string theory, And, mm-hmm. and then, you know, much as a teenager, Stephen Hawking talking about string theory. Mm-hmm. And that there is more scientific evidence of that existing than, like, time travel or mm-hmm. a lot of other things that we've come up with in the sci-fi world.
Right, exactly.
So, to your point, I mean, you know, that could be.
Yeah.
A, even scientifically, there's a little more meat on the bone there.
For that, yeah.
Than, you know, coming up with whatever else we got.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Because nobody's got the answer.
No, we don't have the answer.
You know,
no.
that whole thing. Which I think is kind of fun in a way. Like, as long as you don't take this, I think, too far or too serious or what have you, we don't have a lot of stuff left in this world where we don't know the answers. You know, mysteries of life, I think, are kind of fun and interesting.
Right,
as much as I want to find out the answers to almost everything, you know, it's kind of fun to know some stuff.
And I don't know about you, Melissa, but I don't. You know, I don't like to make, and I'm not going to make fun of people who do experience these things because they're very real to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they can be very transformative and everything. And I'm not going to make fun of people for that. I'm not necessarily, I don't know where I stand on it. I'm kind of like you, James, on this, on the thing, because it seems, you know, because they happen so differently, you know, there's no like common real denominator with a lot of these things. They seem very subjective to me personally.
Yeah.
But I am not going to discount people who have them and what they believe, because that's like you were saying, it's not going to hurt. It doesn't necessarily have to. And, well, occasionally it can hurt other people, but most of the time it doesn't. So
right.
And I think I'm on a similar plane of existence with you guys with this,
so to speak.
I like the way you put that. That was great.
I have a healthy dose of skepticism, especially if there are people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. Talking about these things,
right.
But the people that I do know that have experienced spiritual encounters, or you know, I respect their belief, but I haven't experienced it myself, so I can't say that yes, I believe in ghosts.
Right.
Well, that's not entirely true. I have had one thing that happened to me after my mom died that I could have swore she was talking to me. But other than that, I really haven't had too many otherworldly experiences with people who have died. I've had some very vivid dreams.
Dreams
are weird. You've heard some of my dreams.
Yes.
They're just weird.
They are weird. The closest I've ever had to an experience like that, I was at my folks' house when I was like in college or something, and I think the washing machine turned on by itself, and that's it. That's the only thing. But that could have been anything. So I'm not going to say there was some entity messing with the washing machine. So, but that's it. That's all I've experienced.
And plus, I don't like to be scared. So that's just why I don't watch horror movies, and I don't watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's occasionally, you know, you wake up from a scary dream, or you're just freaked out about something in the middle of the night. And I got to figure out a way to get out of that, because otherwise I get freaked out like really bad, and it's not good. And if I have to wake my boyfriend up because I'm that scared, that's not a good thing.
Good conversation, guys. I appreciate that. That was fun. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about America's least favorite month or months.
I've got a guess.
It's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you, along with Echo and the Bunnymen.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty.
It's a great band name, by the way.
Yes.
Echo and the Bunnymen. Although, if you are the lead singer of that band, you have to be prepared to be called Echo.
Yes.
Like, I think we have to get over that as musicians. Like, musicians, and not we, but musicians need to. Like, if you name your band Hootie and the Blowfish, you can't get mad at people for thinking you're Hootie.
You totally can't.
You just can't. I'm sorry. There's been a bit. Outside, like, what, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes? Because Harold Melvin was, the drummer and stuff?
Yeah, right, yeah.
He wasn't
something
the lead
like
singer.
That, yeah.
And there's a couple examples here and there, but most part, we name the band after the lead singer, and it's the rest of the gang. It's a, come on.
Darn musicians, I'm telling you.
I do think that's a great band name, though. Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yes,
that's a great name, especially for an emo band. That's like a perfect name. It is time to rejoice, everybody. Not only because it's March and a brand new month, it can stretch our legs and enjoy things outside a little bit more, getting closer to spring. And if that doesn't do it for you, well, at least the last 2 months, least two favorite months of the year have faded away. There's a new poll out on America's favorite months and our least favorite. And our least favorite, by far and away, are January and February.
No surprise there.
Nope.
Not at all.
I am not alone.
No, you're not.
November also doesn't get a lot of love. So November coming in number three on the list.
Huh, that surprises me
that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
The other main
set in early in November. So
well, especially around here, we can get reasons to be upset.
I also think that people also get a little bit fidgety when it comes to November, and that you want to get as many things as you can outside done, and there's never enough time to do that. The weather doesn't always cooperate with you with that.
Holidays are coming.
Yeah.
You're getting antsy about Christmas and those things. Yeah, I could see some reasons, maybe.
Yeah.
The other main winter month, December, is divisive because of the holidays. 40% of people say that they love December, which was more than any other month. So it was the most popular month.
December is. Wow.
That's crazy.
But 7% hate it with a passion. And 14% dislike it.
Okay. Interesting. Wow.
If you include all the all positive feelings, loving and liking, April is our favorite month overall. Okay. May and October are also well liked.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like people appreciate milder weather and the months that start new seasons.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. The changing.
Yeah, the change of season is always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
The only non-winter month that people are a little sour about is August.
Not surprising.
And maybe because it's the whole going back to school thing and that kind of stuff.
And usually really hot.
It can be really hot, especially in the southern regions. Yeah, for sure.
That's funny because the next thing they say after school is the summer heat. So, yeah. Well done, you two. Well done. Nice job, you guys.
The dog days of summer, yes.
It's almost like we've lived through it.
Yeah.
August is still loved or liked by 74% of people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just because my birthday, no, I'm sorry. Actually, you know, I because I'm a summer person, I don't care about how hot it gets. I really don't care. I will take June, July, and August. That's my favorite time of year because you will never hear me complain about the heat. Because that's how much I hate the cold
right
in the wintertime.
Interesting.
You only hear me complain about it if I have to do something out in it and it's just beastly hot.
Well, that's why, Melissa, you use it as an excuse not to do those things. See,
well,
now you got to work it.
Sometimes you don't have that option, Seth.
As little as possible. That's the.
You can see the complete article at YouGov.com. That's YouGov.com. And just to go over the finalize the list here, America's least favorite month is January, followed by February, and then I see August. August, and then it is a tie between December and July.
Interesting, yeah.
And then a massive tie here. Oh, no, then there's March. And then it's tied May, September, and November are all tied with four. And then you've got June, June, and what am I missing here? April.
Or May. One of those two.
June and September. June, September, and November. That was it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, teach their own. That's basically it.
It depends on how much you enjoy the weather of that. I think that has a lot to do with it.
They don't have the list in order, okay? They don't have it in order. It's all mucked around and everything. I don't know why this graph that they have. They couldn't have used a worse graph.
Well, that's the graphs that they use these days, you know.
Yes.
No pie charts for you anymore.
They miss my pie charts. Like a pie chart. I would think you'd be very in favor of a pie chart.
Well, you can't eat it, though.
Okay.
It's just shaped like a pie. You can't eat a pie chart.
They don't even look like they taste good.
It's my my whole argument about skim milk. Skim milk, it lies to you. Skim milk is lying to you. It is not milk.
It's water masquerading as milk.
It's water with a hint of like a
coloring.
Like an egg yolk food coloring to it.
That's
or whatever.
All it is.
We will take a quick commercial.
Conspiracy by the chickens and the cows.
Keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on them. Telling you.
Someday.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. And time to get into our feature that ain't right story. And it's a story, guys. Now, we're just not just picking on a human being here. We're picking on everybody. We have 15 dumbest myths people still believe.
Okay.
Good news, everybody. We're probably going to all have at least one or two of these. I think that brings us all together. It shows how much we have in common and also how silly we can be.
Sorry. You said good news, everybody. Professor Farnsworth.
Yes. It popped
good,
in my head.
Good news, everyone.
Always had bad news. Always had bad news.
Sorry.
I love Detective Farnsworth. Yeah. Professor Farnsworth.
Yeah.
First one on the list, lie detectors as a literal thing. They record stress responses, which might signal when someone is lying or not, depending on how a person's body reacts or if they're anxious. Mm-hmm. They're not admissible in court for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Admissible.
not
the word I thought I'd have trouble with today.
After all those other words, right? You were doing just fine with. Well, and that's understandable, too, because, I mean, some people are very good at lying without changing anything about their body. I mean, yeah, this is definitely not foolproof.
Nope. That there is a dramatic reading of a person's will with everyone in one room, like in a movie. Estate lawyers say that may have happened 150 years ago, but in reality, they just mail everybody a copy if they want it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing exciting here.
That black belts have to register their fists as weapons.
Isn't that a joke?
Yes.
That's like from a joke.
Heard that. Oh, yeah.
Register these as lethal weapons.
My buddy Pete Crone, shout out Pete. He's one of the few people I know that is like a 3-degree black belt and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he used to have people ask him that question and just shake his head. Like, that you eat X amount of spiders in your sleep every year.
Oh.
This is just to get people all weird about sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You eat spiders.
Or put cotton balls in their ears.
Yeah.
We have the answers for you now that thankfully it probably never happens. For a sleeping person to swallow even one live spider, it would have to involve many, 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 many unlikely circumstances
exactly.
and scenarios and all that.
Yeah.
The spider doesn't want to happen.
How did the spider get such bad press?
Yeah.
Why did the poor spider...
Because they look creepy when they move.
So?
Who's the nursery rhyme about? Old Miss Muffet or whatever?
Yeah, sat on a tuffet.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was her. She's the one that set this all up. She set this whole thing into motion. Yep.
And the itsy bitsy spider.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's a good spider.
Right? See? The water spout.
Yeah, that's just a curious spider.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with the itsy bitsy spider. Yeah.
They eat mosquitoes. Come on.
Yes. No, spiders are cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm directing the segment, you know we got to get serious for a second. In all seriousness, the idea that you have to wait 48 hours to report someone missing.
Yeah.
The fact that people still believe that is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to wait 48 hours to report somebody missing. Now, they will tell you if it's been 20 hours or it's been 10 hours or something like that. We'd like to give these things 24 hours, but we want to know the earlier you can let law enforcement mm-hmm. know about this mm-hmm. stuff, the quicker they can get on the ball. Everybody
right.
has seen enough missing persons TV shows and movies. One thing that is actually true, every second matters.
Yeah.
With mm-hmm. every day that goes by, it's less likely they're going to find this person.
Right, right. And I think that, I mean, the reason that I think was put out there is that, you know, oh, you don't want to be a nuisance.
Teenagers.
Yeah, that's you don't want to be a nuisance to the police, you know, every 5 minutes you're saying, oh, someone is missing. But, I mean, come on, use your best judgment. If it's someone who, you know, has a routine and all of a sudden they're not on that routine, that would make sense mm-hmm. to say, hey, wait, something happened here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And depending on the circumstances, mm-hmm. You know, that's always something to keep in mind as well.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
If you drop a penny off a skyscraper, it will eventually fall fast enough to kill somebody. In reality, it would hit terminal velocity about 30 miles per hour for its mass. And if it hit someone, it would feel like being flicked in the forehead.
Yeah.
You'd feel it. You might have a little bit of a mark there, but you're not going to have a scar.
No, and it's not going to like penetrate your skull.
Yeah, definitely not going to kill you.
It's like it's like in a world of no friction, you know? It's exactly. Gravity, yes.
That humans only use 10% of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like saying we only use 33% of traffic lights.
It's a good comp. I like that.
Yeah, that doesn't really add up. Now, where this stems from, though, is kind of fascinating because for a very long time, we only understood 10% of the brain. We only had about 10% of the brain mapped out.
Right, exactly.
So I think that's where a lot of this stems from.
I think so. I think you're right.
But it is interesting how we're discovering more and more about the brain all the time.
Right, of course.
Oh, well, it's fascinating.
It is.
Having your headlights off at night is a gang initiation. Oh. So don't flash your lights to alert them. quick spoiler alert, guys. Like, a lot of gang members don't have the money for a vehicle. Don't leave their neighborhood. They kind of stick to the block that they're on. Like, yeah, I don't know what gangs they're talking about here, but yeah.
That is an urban myth.
The ones in movies.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's an urban myth, actually. It's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
That it speaks to people's fear of gangs and all this stuff that, oh, they're violent and they're going to come get me because that's what they care about is being violent to strangers.
Gangs care about other gangs.
Exactly.
That's where it ends. Mm-hmm. If you're wearing the wrong color and you're in a neighborhood you've never been in before in a major city, you're okay.
You're not gonna.
It's not, you know. Yeah. Now, if you are a gang member wearing a different color, that's a whole different story.
Right.
But if you are not, you have nothing to worry about. And I would not lead people down the wrong path there or anything like that. I've got no reason to lie to you about that. I, if anything, I would be on the other side of it and trying to really warn people.
Yep.
But I think that, you know, we got enough things to fear and worry about in society and in life. Yeah, this isn't one of them. That shaving makes your hair grow back thicker.
I remember believing this for many years.
Raising my hand. My dad and I got this from my dad. And it's been something I probably even into, I wouldn't say recent history, but even into my 20s, I might have still believed.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I shave my face and it just comes back the same.
Yeah.
I always thought.
That's good. That
as you're developing, you know, and your hair is just starting to come in, that may seem like it's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because I remember the first time I shaved, my whiskers were very soft, and then I shaved and they were not soft anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very whiskery.
That's rough.
Yeah.
It's literally.
Literally rough.
I'm terrible. That MSG is any worse for you than salt.
This
one I believed for a long time because it was very much spoken about in my household.
Well, and it wasn't just that, Melissa. There was a lot of like from news sources that were saying this kind of thing about MSG that was a little careless, to be polite. It was a little careless the way that was bandied about. And yeah, but you're right. There's nothing really different. So yeah.
That eating carrots helps you see in the dark or helps your eyesight at all. There is a tiny, tiny bit of truth that carrots are good for sight. Are good, but you know,
because of the vitamin they have in
them.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not as if Bugs Bunny had 40/40 vision or something. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not,
with like bunnies now, super. Yeah. Speaking of spies, bunny spy.
Yes.
See in the dark.
It's the next thing. The country is going to have bunnies as spies. That'll be next. One person playfully added, "Tear here to open." It never works. The tear here to open thing never works. It never does. No, that's great. That's funny.
That's a good one.
Another person added, "The earth is flat." And we've been very honest here on this morning show. One of the things that we wanted to do is make this a morning show for everybody. Everybody is welcome. It doesn't matter who you are. We welcome all race, creed, rich, poor, wherever, whatever country you're from, any of that. We want you to be a part of the show. The only thing I've ever had an outlier to this is flat earthers. I can't. This is the one thing. I can listen. I can hear you out on anything. But the flat earth thing, just you lose me on this one. Especially, you can Google right now. You can go to the Flat Earth Society website, and they will tell you the Flat Earth Society with members around the globe. Wait, hold up here. If that's coming from the Flat Earth Society.
Wait, is this like both sides of the earth?
Maybe that's what they mean. It's a disc, maybe? I don't know.
To anybody out there that may believe that the Earth is flat, I would like to help you right now and prove to you that the Earth is round. I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to drop my pen. Listen for this. That's gravity. And we don't have gravity if the Earth is flat. Plus, cats would have knocked everything off it by now.
Yeah. See, now that one's even better, if you ask me. Hey, I have flat earthers in my family, and it's very sad. It's very, very sad.
Yeah. I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
You're gonna move on.
Earth is flat.
I can't even talk about that one without just getting like bent out of shape about it. Yeah, just, it's the only one that gets me. I can sit there and listen to somebody try to convince me that Sasquatches are real and all that, and I'll hear them out, I'll listen, but that flat earther one, man, that hits on a nerve or something. I don't know what it is, but it gets me. I can't handle that one.
That's part of the reason why I sent you that Foamy the Squirrel video, James. Because it included that in there.
That's a good story of the day, by the way, because Melissa reminded me of Foamy the Squirrel, and I'd forgotten all about those. I hadn't watched one of those in years. I went on Melissa, I meant to tell you, I went out for like the next hour, I was watching Foamies, just like nonstop. I miss those.
There's so that's many great. Good rants.
Oh, there's so many good so rants. Many good so many good ones.
And I love his songs.
Yes. We get to our good stories of the day now, but I did want to actually open this up. If anybody out there listening, if you've got some other ones, you want to send them to us, please feel free to. If there's some other silly myths that we still believe or something like that wasn't on the list,
sure,
feel free to send them to us. I would say like our Facebook page and direct message us on Facebook.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, it's a fun way to do that. So getting to some good stories of the day, we actually have one that's coming to us from Channel 7 here in Central Wisconsin, reported on by Haley Clevenger and handed to us by Terry Johns.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
And Terry sent me this because it involves penguins. it's not just the roads that are slick and ice-covered. Sidewalks and driveways are as well. And if you're not careful, one misstep will put you on icy ground. So one of the things that they are recommending is to walk like a penguin on these icier grounds. To waddle, if you will.
Nice.
Discover your inner penguin and get some waddling in, and it should keep you safe out there, everybody.
James, I hate to break this to you, but that doesn't mean you have to dress up as a penguin. Okay,
really?
I know you had it. You're finally have an excuse to wear it. You know, your penguin costume.
I missed that.
Darn it. Well,
can you take a picture, Seth?
Just feel a little silly now. No, but people, people wonder why I wear black so often. I'm always trying to dress like a penguin. I'm always trying to.
They're styling. Yeah, they're styling.
But he went a little far with the shoes. Too, yeah,
a little too far. Went a little too far. Took it like I do with a lot of things. Yeah. Took it a little too far.
He is such an actor. Such an actor.
Our other good story of the day is, of course, our good friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society and Gray's Services for sponsoring that segment. Thank you to Madison and the gang for joining us. That was so much fun. Mm-hmm. Be listening every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour for our Pet of the Week. And of course, the best co-hosts in radio, you two. Appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, glad to be here.
We'll be back tomorrow, Seth and I, to get you ready for your weekend, everybody. Melissa, you have a good weekend.
You too, guys.
We'll talk with you more tomorrow. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.